We are holding on Kufaf Gimel Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. We learned yesterday, we're in the middle of discussing a machlokas Reb Yochanan and Rish Lakish on the question of if leather, if a piece of leather is partially ripped but not completely, is it still considered to be connected such that if it's the minimum size to become tame, which for leather is defined as 5 by 5 tefachim, then it would still be makabel truma, and if it was tame before, then it's not yet tahor even by virtue of being partially ripped. So we had Rish Lakish saying that yes, with a piece of cloth, with a talus, if it's partially ripped, as we learned yesterday. And there's not left kedema purus, there's not left one intact part the size of a scarf, then it would lose its truma. But with leather, Rish Lakish had said, not so, because leather is tougher, and therefore, and unlike cloth, in other words, when cloth is ripped and you re-sew it, it's never really like it was in the beginning, as opposed to leather, Rish Lakish says, is tougher. Cholim is the expression in the Gemara, which literally means that it heals, meaning, in other words, that when it's re-sewn, that it's just as strong as to begin with, so therefore the ripping doesn't change its status. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan had said that leather would have the same din as far as cloth for that purpose, and once enough of it has been ripped, that you don't have one intact area of 5 by 5 tefachim, and then indeed it would lose its tumah. So the Gemara says, Masid Rabbi Yirmiya. So Rabbi Yirmiya says that I have a contradiction on Rish Lakish's opinion about this idea of cholim, that when you have something which is hard or stiff or whatever you want to translate cholim exactly, like it's still strong even though it was ripped or broken, if it's fixed up. So now let's talk about a case of an oven. Ovens in those times were generally made out of earthenware. We did learn in Menachos about the concept that there might have been a metal oven in the Beis Hamikdash for reasons that we learned there, but basically ovens in those days were usually made out of earthenware, out of clay. They would be smeared, they would be shaped basically like an upside down pot. They would have a hole on the top for the smoke to get out, and there would be a hole on the side and to put in the firewood and to soak it and whatever. And then it would be made out of clay, out of fired earthenware. It would be coated with a thick layer of more clay so it retains its heat, and it would be generally attached to the ground. Now, normally things attached to the ground are not makabel truma, but the Torah tells us specifically that an oven is able to be makabel truma. Now, like all earthenware kalim, if it becomes tame, you can't tovel it, you can't do anything with it. So therefore, the only thing you can do if it becomes tame is break it. You can keep it if you can keep it tame, of course, but then you have to be careful not to bake or cook tahor food in it. So mostly Rav Yirmiya. So Rav Yirmiya says, I have a contradiction on Rish Lakish from a Mishnah in Masechta Kalim. Tanu shenitma, if an oven becomes tame, heitim matarinoi, so how do you make it tahor? So now, one obvious way would be you break it into tiny pieces. But let's say you don't want to break it into tiny pieces. Let's say you want to break it into large pieces where conceivably then you could put them back together afterwards. And depending on how you put them back together, by the way, that oven may in fact in the future not even be susceptible to tumah anymore. In Mishnayos Kalim over there, it discusses various possible configurations of that. So what do you do? Choke of the shloisha. The first thing you have to do is cut it into three parts. Now, why three? Rashi points out, if you only cut it into two, almost inevitably one part is going to be larger than the other. And as we're going to learn soon in the Gemara, when you have the part that consists of the majority of the original oven, it's still going to be tame, like before, because that's not considered to have been broken. So therefore, so you have to cut it into three. You have to cut or break it into three, and that way you can be sure that no one part. That in general, you can be sure that no one part is the majority. Then you have to scrape off all of this extra plastering, all of this extra, not plastering really, but all this extra layer of clay that you put on there to retain its heat. It would also be the tfela actually helps hold the oven together in the first place. Besides that it helps retain the heat, it also helps heat the parts of the oven together so they don't fall apart. So now you have to remove that, so you have to remove that layer so that now the pieces actually come apart. Now, Rashi points out, even though the pieces are still able to stand where they were, then at this point it's tougher because now they're not attached anymore. You have to remove the layer of clay until it gets down to the ground, which it actually says means, in other words, you have to like knock it down all the way to the ground. So you do have to have, at that point, you have to have that. So Rashi over here explains. So Rashi is saying ad hakalkama pila, which would mean not that you have to knock down the actual pieces of the oven itself, but said that even though the pieces of the oven are still standing with tar, it means you would have to remove the plaster all the way down to ground level. There's other explanations among Rishonim, the Rash, Rabbeinu Shimshon, on the Sechta Kalim, a Rishon who wrote Pirush on the whole Seder Taras. He explains that it also means that when you're breaking it into those three pieces, the cracks have to go all the way down to ground level. You can't just crack it partially along the height. And then the Rambam has yet another example, has yet another explanation. It means normally the oven itself is not necessarily going to be directly on the ground. You may well have a layer of that clay between it and the ground. Here you have to actually remove it. You have to remove it to the extent where you don't even have that, where the oven itself is directly on the ground. Okay. So that's according to the Tanakhama. The Mishnah continues, Rameo, and it's sort of ligurous at Fela. Rameo says, no, you don't have to scrape off the extra layer. And you don't have to get it all the way down to the ground, meaning, again, according to these various possibilities, you don't have to remove the plaster all the way down to the ground, you don't have to have the cracks are all the way down to the ground, etc. All you need to do, says the mayor, you need to break the earthenware of the oven from the inside, so it's less than 4 tefachim. 4 tefachim, as the Gemara is going to explain soon, is considered to be the minimum height of an oven to be mekabel tumah. So therefore, so the mayor says, once you break it from the inside, that each piece is less than 4 tefachim, then you're good, and we don't care about the plastering, and we don't care about adji hebarets. Well, so now let's consider a mayor's opinion. King Mayat Lamaba Miatar. Well, according to the mayor, then we're saying that if it gets to that when all the pieces are less than 4 amma or less than 4 tefachim in height, then it's gonna be tar. Am I? Now, says Rabbi Yumi on Rish Lakish, why should that be? Based on Rish Lakish's logic about the leather, that cholim, that it's still tough and stiff, and therefore when you put it back together, it'll be just as strong as it was before. Same thing. Lema hocholim v'koi. You could say the same thing over here. When you put back the pieces together, then this extra layer of clay that you smear on it is going to hold it very well together. And yet we don't have a problem with that, and we still say that the oven is tahor and it's not mekabel tumah. How would Rish Lakish understand that Mishnah? In other words, Tosfos explains we should consider, you know, the fact is the oven itself, the earthenware of the oven itself has been taken apart, and now okay, so you plastered it, you smeared clay on it, and put it back together. Still, it should be considered the equivalent of leather that has not yet been sewn back together, and therefore the Mishnah is telling us, in effect, therefore it's considered like it's permanently broken. Well, according to the Shlokish, why should that be so? If you sew it back up, which in our case would be the equivalent of putting it back together with the clay, then it's strong again. Amalei Rava. So Rava says to Rabbi Yirmiyah, what kind of a question is that? Instead of you're trying to bring from a mayor and you're trying to ask on Rish Lakish from a mayor's opinion, or maybe on the contrary, prove in Rish Lakish's favor from the opinion of the Rabbanon, of the Tanakhama, where he said, you have to remove all of this layer of clay. So according to the mayor, yeah, you could say you removed some of it, and nevertheless it still holds together. But according to the Chachamim, you actually have to remove that whole layer of clay. Well, then in that case, precisely that shows that as long as it's still capable of being as strong as it was before, then it's still able to be tamei. Well, that exactly fits with what Rish Lakish is saying. So what are you questioning him from the mayor's opinion? Why aren't you instead proving that he must be correct, that the halacha must be like him, based on the opinion of the Chachamim? Now, Rasha says, maybe a better point is, well, why isn't Rava saying, well, this Mishnah, on the contrary, seems to contradict Rabbi Yochanan, that at least the Tanakhama of our Mishnah is against Rabbi Yochanan? Fine, we might answer that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are having the same machlokas as the Chachamim and Rav Meir, but that's not what Rava is saying. So there is a so a couple of achronim talk about that the question is not so much why you're asking for a meyer. The question is Rabbi Yehuda, why are we even comparing an oven with or without its layer of clay, of insulating clay? Why are you comparing that in the first place to leather, to leather that was torn, and you're comparing them, then in that case, then why are you asking from Rabbeinu's opinion? Then, and on the contrary, you can ask from the Chachamim's opinion. Rava himself holds the big difference, because look, you know, you put back together the oven, and you don't even put it back together, you have the plastering from before, which holds it together, then therefore it never really was broken in the first place, as opposed to the leather, clearly was ripped. So he's saying to Rabbeinu, I myself don't hold that there's a comparison at all between these two cases. But if you hold that there's a comparison between them, then why are you trying to question Rish Lakish from the opinion of the mayor instead of, on the contrary, buttressing his opinion with the opinion of the Chachamim? So Ella Omar Rava. So rather, Rava says no. The case in the Mishnah in Kalim that we just quoted is rather as follows. We have to understand the Mishnah as follows. When an oven becomes tummy, take from the tannin, say, how do you make that oven tougher? Everybody is going to agree that you have to divide it into three parts, and that you have to remove all the clay down to the ground. Because otherwise, yes, you have, it really is what we've called before, holding. It really is very strong. It still has enough of its original strength to function as an oven, and therefore it hasn't been yet broken, and therefore it hasn't yet lost its silver. So, but rather, machlokes would be the question is rather what the Mishnah is discussing is not how to be metahar an oven that already became charred. The question is, if you want to proactively make sure that your oven is not going to be able to be mekabel truma, then how should you build it? How should you construct that oven? So now, like I'm going to say, you start by chokel l'shlosha, you start by breaking it into three parts, and scrape off all of the plastering down to the ground. And the Chacham said that's what you need. Rav Meir is saying, when we're talking proactively, we're talking it never became Tomei yet, then you don't need to go to that extent. Ain't it sort of the Ligurus at Tela, the Anshia Hebaris, you don't have to scrape off the clay. You don't have to get it all the way down to the ground. Elo Martin is Nim, all you have to do is reduce the size of each piece on the inside, that it's less than 4 tefachim, and we don't care about that the outside still has that thick layer of clay, and therefore that's good enough. So therefore, says Rava, that machlokas in that Mishnah has nothing to do with the machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, where the leather was already ripped after it became, where the leather became tamei and then was ripped, because here in the Mishnah in Kalim, we're not talking about an oven that became tamei, and what we do with it, there everybody would agree with the idea that you have to remove all the plastering and break it in three pieces, etc. The machlokas rather would be when you want to make an oven in such a way that can't become tamei in the first place. Okay. Let's analyze this point about the oven a little more. The Gemara says, "Omanah." We learned before in the mission of chokel l'shloisha. So you divide the oven into three parts. And that's enough, because then we said, as we said, when you divide it into three, then you're not going to have any one part be the majority of it. Fine. I mean, the Mishnah does talk about it. There are Mishnayos that talk about it over there. What if you did divide it so unevenly where one of the three parts is indeed the majority? That's another matter. But in the normal situation, fine. Each one is not going to be exactly 33%, but you're going to have one of them will be 40%, one of them will be 25%, one of them will be 30%, one of them will be 20%, whatever. Each one, none of them is an actual majority. Well, the Gemara says there are though. The problem with that is I have a contradiction on that from another Mishnah also in Masech Tekevin. The Mishnah says, "Tanu tchilos avla." When you start building an oven, what height does it have to reach? In order to be tamei? So sometimes you build an oven piecemeal, so there can be a point when you're building it when it reaches the height, and then in all cases the rule is the oven also has to be fired. So you might have, for example, Rashi explains, you might have that, for example, you build a very small oven which is only a few tefachim tall. So it has to be a minimum of 4 tefachim tall in order to be the kabel tumor. Ushyara vaba, and the remainder of the oven also has to be at least 4 tefachim in order to still remain tumor. Otherwise the tumor goes away. give it a mayor, that's what a mayor says. So in other words, both when it comes to constructing an oven in the first place, and when it comes to, if you have an oven that became tummy and now you have to break it, as long as you don't have any part of the oven, as long as you don't have an oven that's 4 fucking tall, then the mayor says it's not tummy. It won't become tummy in the first place, and the tumor disappears from it in the latter case. The Chum say, though, that depends. Only, when is that talking about? Only a large oven. Which is, it actually explains, you have ovens that are made for regular cooking and for regular baking and roasting and whatever, but the Chacham say when it comes to a small oven, as the Gemara is going to explain soon, like for example a toy oven that they make for kids to play with, you always find kids like to copy their parents. You know, it's why kids play house, and kids play all kinds of kids play with, you know, girls especially like to play with dolls and take care of them like mommies take care of babies. So in those times, in other words, it was very common. I guess nowadays you also have where they would have toy ovens that they would play with. So now, when you have a small oven like that, which is made for playing, but the fact is it is used as an oven, so fine. You know, they make a little fire in there as part of their playing, and like maybe they bake cookies in it or something. Anyway, so then, then any amount of height of it is going to be makabel truma when you first make it, because then there's no minimum height of such an oven. Misha tigom malachta, as soon as the oven is finished being made. So in other words, again, it has to be that the oven was finished being constructed and fired so that now it will function as an oven. But then the Chacham say it doesn't matter how high it was built in the first place, even if it's very low, then nevertheless the Gemara is going to explain the second kosher doesn't literally mean any amount. There's going to be a minimum amount, but still a lot less than 4 tefachim. Then already it's makabel truma. Now, there's a Tosfos elsewhere in Nidda. The Gemara discusses this point. The Gemara discusses different things over there, which are going to be a tefach. The Gemara is going to tell us that even with this toy oven, it has to be a minimum of a tefach tall. So there's a Gemara in Nidda that talks about various things where the shear is a tefach. We'll learn it next year, Best Hashem. And so Tosfos says that the difference is a big oven has a big circumference, and therefore, in order to retain the heat, it has to be at least 4 tefachim tall, as opposed to a small little toy oven that they make for the kids. Then even a tefach tall is able to retain enough heat to function as an oven. So that's sort of Chacham say. When it comes to a small oven, there's a far lower minimum amount, and ushiyara v'rubay. And furthermore, when shiara berubay, the leftovers of the oven, it is true it has to be the majority of the height of it. And if you have all the pieces are less than the majority of the original height, then it's going to be tahar after being broken. So there was a Chumma arguing with her mayor on 2 points. Your mayor says always the minimum height is 4 tefachim, and the Chumma saying when it comes to baking the oven in the first place depends whether we're talking a regular oven or a toy oven. And when we're talking about when it's broken, then when it's broken, the mayor is going to say 4 tefachim, the Chum is going to say the majority. Well, first of all, the Kama Kol Shavu. What do we mean by Kol Shavu when we say that an oven of any height, of a toy oven, is Makabel Truma? Amri, Dvei Rav Yanai Tefach. So they said in the Yeshiva of Rav Yanai that the Kol Shavu over here actually means a Tefach. Shekain Oisim, Tanure Bones, Tefach, because they make toy ovens for girls of Tefach in size. The Pashtos, I guess, then as now, it's more usually girls and women who usually do work in the kitchen. So therefore, it would be more girls' kind of toy, would be a toy oven like that. So therefore, yes, people would make them a Tefach in size. Okay, anyway, the point of the question is that, so here, we had a braisa before that said you have to divide the oven that's tomei into 3, but we said that actually in the end the Mishnah meant not if it became tomei, but we're talking about proactively where you want to prevent it from being able to become tomei. Well, so that Mishnah had said, as long as you have, no part is the majority. Whereas the Mishnah we just quoted now says, the Mishnah that we says now, that, time of de'ika shiorav abba. Now, we're saying when there's leftover of the oven, 4 tefachim, according to the mayor, divrei the mayor, then we had said that it's still makabel truma, halakha ava, halakha shiara ava, implying if there's not 4 tefachim of height left, tahar, then it's not makabel truma anymore. Well then, the question would be, then why do you have to break the oven into 3? All you have to do is, depending on the size of the oven, you may only have to break it in 2, as long as you make sure each piece is less than 4 tefachim in height. In other words, Rashi explains. Reb Meir specifically mentions the four tvachim. Reb Meir is saying before when we talk about making an oven in the first place, and Reb Meir had said that all you need to do is make sure that no part is four tefachim tall, and the Chachamim apparently disagree with that. They say that it doesn't matter even if it's less than four tefachim. The key thing is whether it's a majority. So why do you need to adapt and divide it into four? Why do you adapt and need to divide it into three? All you need to make sure is that each part is not the majority. Tosfos, by the way, brings a different deuce over here, in the Mishnah in Kalim that we're quoting over here. Okay. Anyway. So the answer is Amri. So the answer, the difference is Hosam Tzalke Mitzvah. The difference is, and the Mishnah that mentioned four tefachim, the second Mishnah that we just quoted, is talking about the Shalke Mitzvah. It's talking about where you divided the oven widthwise, and now you have a piece less than four tefachim, and above it you have another piece, and then above it you have another piece, and so forth. So now the point is, so now it won't be stable. The top piece is not necessarily going to stay stably on top of the bottom one. So now even the Chacham will hold that it's not tall anymore. As long as there's no part that is four tefachim tall. So it doesn't even matter. In other words, in that case, even if the top part consists of the majority of the height of the original oven, because if it's on an unstable base, it's on a base where it was cut lengthwise, and now you have it's like one wing on top of another, and it's not really going to stand firmly, and therefore the Chacham will agree that it's not tall anymore. But in the case where you have to divide it into three, is the Avdei Gistera. He's talking about where he divided the oven along the height of it, from top to bottom. So now it's still, each piece is still capable of standing. So now if you fix it, then it'll be functional again, and therefore now therefore it hasn't lost its tumor yet, and therefore the only way is to break into three so that way it's not stable. So now, if we break it in two, then we don't even care if four tefachim or not. We're going to say, Maharsha explains, we're going to say, even though to begin with we said four tefachim, but now the fact is it still was already functioning as an oven, and now it's still intact enough. It's that if you put it back together, it'll easily continue to function as an oven, then therefore we require you to break it in three parts in order for it to lose its tumah. So that explains the contradiction between the two Mishnahs. Okay. The Gemara says, Omamar, let's analyze more of that Mishnah about the oven. We said, Shiar of the Ruboy. We said the Chachamim say what's left over of the oven has to be the majority of it in order to still be Tameh and not have lost its Tumah. Now the question is, if you're talking about, we said we're talking about a small oven, a toy oven, which is only a tefach tall in the first place. So the question is, Ruba de tefach, am I having, if we're saying that the minimum height of such an oven to actually even be mekabel tumah in the first place is one tefach, well now if it's broken and you only have a majority of the tefach left, then what could you use it for? Even kids are not going to find any use in such a small oven. So the answer is Amar Abaya. So Abaya says, fine. That last part of the Mishnah is not referring to a toy oven anymore. It's referring to a normal oven. It means Shiore Godol Berubay, means of a large, normal size oven. If it's divided, if it's divided along its width, then Berubay, then if you have the majority of it, it's still intact on the bottom, then it's still going to be Tomei. But you're right. If it's a toy oven, which is only a tefach tall, then any break of it is going to make it no longer Tomei. So the question is for Amir Rabbanan Abba, but didn't the Chacham say that you need four tefachim? And the answer was like Kasha, Hal the Tanur about Tisha, Hal the Tanur about Shiva. It depends whether the oven was originally nine tefachim or more tall. If it's nine tefachim, then four tefachim is less than a majority of it. In other words, Rashi explains, when we said over here, we said before that the Chacham said, the Medvar Mamun, when are we disagreeing with the mayor, when do we say four tefachim is only a big oven as opposed to a small oven, they had said a tefach. So the point is, they agree with their mayor that it was a regular size oven. It's four tuchen. So now the answer is, there's a difference between an oven of 9 tuchen tall. So now, when will it still retain its truma? Only if a piece of it is the majority of the original height. So more than 4.5 tuchen. Habitan, not a bar shiva, as opposed to, when we talk about 4 tefachim, is when the oven to begin with was only 7 tefachim tall. So now, if you have less than 4 tefachim, it doesn't even matter if it's the majority. It doesn't even matter if it's more than 3.5, and it's the majority, because in other words, what we're going to say is, what is needed for it to still remain tameh is the majority or 4 tefachim, whichever is less. So therefore, if it's 9, then if it's 9, then 4 tefachim is enough to then 4 tefachim, so the other way around, the other way around, not whichever is less, but whichever is more. So in the case of a 9 tefach oven, you're going to need the majority of it, which is more than 4.5 tefachim, which is more than 4 tefachim. Whereas with a 7 tefach oven, it's going to remain tamei only if you have 4 tefachim. Tosfos points out that the Gemara, you can't say it would be on the other way around with Chumrah, that if whichever is less, it's still going to be Tomei, because there's no reason to assume that. If to begin with, an oven is able to contract Tumah, a regular size oven, only when it's 4 tefachim tall, then it's not logical to say that when we're talking about breaking an oven, that we care about whether that we're going to be concerned if a piece is less than 4 tefachim in size. So therefore, it must be, like Rashi is saying, that we're talking about Lakula, and it means whichever of those is larger, 4 tefachim or the majority, whichever is larger. Now, Rashi Tosfos also points out, we're not going to answer like we did before, that we're talking about dividing it lengthwise versus widthwise, because before we were talking about two different Mishnayos, so we can say one is talking about one case, the other is the other. Here we're talking about all within one Mishnah. So that explains the rule then. So it's going to be, it has to be at least 4 tefachim, and if it's a larger oven, four is not the majority, then you're going to need more, you're going to need the majority of it in order for it to still remain tefachim. Okay. So that's all as far as this discussion, as far as the oven, which was a side thing, because Reb Yumi had brought in the question from a Mishnah about an oven to ask on the Shlokish, and therefore we went into this whole side discussion about the size of an oven to begin with versus the size of an oven when we're fitting with later on in the oven's lifetime in terms of it still remaining chunky. Now let's go back to that machlokas of Reb Yochanan and Reish Lakish that we started learning about yesterday. Again, we said we quoted a Mishnah that said we quoted a Braisa, the name of Reb Shmuel ben Yosi. We started with a Mishnah about a talus that a person started whipping, and then we had Rav Huna explaining in the name of Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yosi that there's a difference of how much of it he whips. It has to be that he whipped through the majority of it, and it has to be also Rav Huna had explained to us that it means that there's not a piece left the size of a scarf. If there is, then it still retains its original torah. Now, on that, then, we have the machlokas of Yifan and Reish Lakish. Does the same concept apply to leather, or does it not, as Reish Lakish said, because leather is stiffer? So now we're going to revisit that machlokas, but now we're going to have a different version of it. Lishnachrina Amriba, there's another version that the Chacham said of how the machlokas went as far as the cloth versus the leather. Omra Bahuna and the Sunna Bishmal Rav Yosi, Bafilu Shir Bakadema Akhuris, in the second version of Huna says, even if he left a part that was untorn, that's the size of a scarf, nevertheless, that's still not considered connected. And therefore the clothing has now lost shum. Now, in the second version, Omer Shlokas, where Shadow El Talus, that would only apply by a talus, where even though you have an intact piece the size of a Mapotus, nevertheless, it's no longer talking. Aval Herb, but when it comes to leather, he says Choshiv, then it's still considered significant. So unlike before, where Shlokish had used the expression Cholin, that it's tough, and therefore it's easily sewn back up and retains its original strength, and that led us into this whole thing about the oven. Now, in the second version, the Shlokish is saying that no, leather is considered important and significant, and therefore the fact that you have a piece that's intact, the minimum size for leather to be tummy,
then it's still all considered connected, and therefore the and then whether you have the sphere or whether you have the sphere of Mapurus, whether you have the size 5x5 fakhen, which would be using the sphere for leather, in any case, your Shlokish is saying that in that case it's still considered significant and important, and therefore it's not bottle, and therefore the piece of leather is still tame. But Rabbi Yochanan, Allah, whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, no, afilo oro nami like hoshim, even leather that was whipped, even if it's left kedei ma'apodis, is also not considered important, and it would be exactly the same as a talus, where if you rip through the majority of the length and width of it, then it's no longer tame. So now, in the second version, you have we have a question that Rabbi Yochanan had asked on the Shlokish in the first version, which now he does the same thing in this version as well. Says, I have a contradiction on you from a Mishnah. A Mishnah says, Ur Tomim Midras, when you have a piece of leather that's Tomim Midras, as we learned before, a Zav sat or stood or leaned or whatever on it, and it's made for that purpose. If now he decided, he planned that he's going to use this piece of leather and cut it up and make straps or sandals out of it, as soon as he started applying the leather worker's knife, then it becomes tahar, because in other words, he started cutting it, even though he didn't cut through very much of it yet. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Because once he started a task of being a bottle, then Rabbi Yehuda holds that's considered as though he completed the task. The Chum say only if he cuts it or rips it to the extent where you don't have five by five tefachim intact. Well, Rabbi Yochanan says, Kimamite, Mihatar. Well, at any rate, even the Chacham agree that once you get it below 5x5 Tfachim, then it's Tar. Now, according to you, the Shlokish, why would he say that? Le'imachoshim. Shouldn't we say it's considered significant? So why are you saying so? In the first version, again, we have the Shlokish saying that when with cloth, today my poetess is enough for a scarf, then it would still be considered connected. And the Shlokish says with leather, even when you may have less than that, it would still be significant because leather is stiff. Now in this version, he's saying that leather is considered important. So the Shlokish asked him the same question that we see from this Mishnah, that apparently leather also, once it reaches below a certain size, is not considered popular. And the answer is Fakhul Maestin, it's Kabbalah the Moshe of Zog. The answer is that in this Mishnah, when the Mishnah that says that's not Tomei anymore, it's less than 5x5, it's talking about what he intended for his Zog to sit on. Now, less than 5x5 is not really suitable to sit on, which is indeed why leather was Matame only by 5x5 Tfachim. So in that case, you have it specifically set aside for a seat for a zog. So therefore, for less than 5x5, then it's not suitable for that purpose. As opposed to when it comes to other purposes, then a piece of leather, even smaller than that, can be significant. And then the Shlokish would maintain that then it's still tame, even though it was ripped. Okay. Well, usually when we have a Macholikus, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, the halacha is generally that's Rabbi Yochanan, and indeed that's how it would be in these cases as well. Next, continuing with matters of skins of animals and their connection to the flesh that we've been discussing off and on throughout the parak. So now we're going to focus on a nevela. So we've learned so far that a kezias of a nevela is able, a kezias of a nevela is tamei. But we said in the first Mishnah of our parak that the skin on it does not combine together to make up that kezias because it only can by Thomas Erthlin because the shomer, but not by Thomas Nevela. However, we have talked about cases where the skin is considered to be at least a yad, at least to be a handle for the nevela, and therefore to be the tamet. So now the Mishnah addresses that point. The Mishnah says, "Urshi yashal of kezayis balsa." If you have a skin of a nevela that has a kezayis of flesh together in one place on it, so then if anything, a person or a keli touches, and they get, so it's not only if a person touches the actual flesh, of course, then he becomes tamei, but also and they gave it siva yotzim imenu. Also if a person or a keli, because a nevela can also be a tamei kelim, if it touches a siv ayotzim imenu, that siv that comes out of it. Rashi explains that a siv is a strand of flesh. So in other words, you have a So you have one Kazaias that's basically in one area, and then you have a little strand of meat that's sticking out of that. So now if a person touches that, then he would also, then if a person or a KB touches that, then it would also be, then he would also become Tomei. But if Yaakov has a bit of a problem with that, then why mention Dafka's Skid? The same thing would be if you just have the Kazaias and the Vela by itself, and it has C, and it has C attached to it. So the Tiferes Yaakov, the point is, it explains that we would say that it means, in other words, that the skin is not levatal that little bit. When you have less than a Kazaias, as the mission is going to go on to continue, as we've learned the other day, less than a Kazaias might be bottled to the skin, but here where it's attached to a piece of flesh, which is a Kazaias, then it's not going to be bottled. However, the Tiferes Yaakov says that really he prefers the Rambam's explanation, which is the Rambam understands that sin is actually a strip of skin. So normally you have, in other words, the skin is on one side and the meat is on the other, but you could have conceivably that you have on the side with the meat, you have little strips of skin over there as well, and the Rambam defines those as sin. So now the point would be, in other words, it's not just the vein of skin that's on the other side, it's even these little bits on the other side. In any case, so if a person touches that, or beside a shekinemdoi, or he touches a hair that's opposite the meat. We learned about this the other day as well, earlier in our paragraph, that you have a hair. We talked about, does the hair actually penetrate all the way through the skin, all the way to the meat, and therefore it's directly considered a shomer tear, or do we say that it doesn't, but we're talking about a bunch of hairs together, which can function as a yad to pick it up. Anyway, tomei, then he's going to be tomei, like he touched the flesh itself. The Mishnah continues. What happens if instead the skin has two half kazaisim on it? So instead of having one kazaias in one place, instead it has a half kazaias here and a half kazaias there. Well, then, it will be matame. If the person picks up the skin and carries it, so then he's carrying a full kazaias at a time, a nevela, but not the loy b'maga, but not by touching it, he's not touching the kazaias altogether. And Rashi points out, even if you were to touch the two parts, even if you can't touch the two parts together, and even if he did, it wouldn't combine together. We're going to talk about that in the Gemara. So that's Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, that's Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. Rabbi Akiva in the loy b'maga, loy b'maser. Rabbi Akiva says, it's not going to be matame, either by touching or by carrying. As the end of the Mishnah is going to explain. Now, the Mishnah says, Now, Rabbi Akiva would agree if you have two half kazaisim of meat from a nevela that were separated from it, they're not attached to the skin anymore, and now he stuck them onto a piece of wood, so he just stuck them onto like two ends of a toothpick, they sit on, and then he moved it together, so Tomei, then definitely he'll be Tomei because of carrying it, because he carried, he moved a kazaias. So he's going to say, So the skin is different. Why would Rabbi Akiva hold that it's tahor when they're attached to the skin? He would say because the skin is mevatel them, because then they're not considered significant relative to the skin, but they are considered significant relative to a toothpick, and therefore the fact that they're attached to a toothpick and he picks up that toothpick, now he's going to become tomei because now he's picked up a kazai indirectly, a kazaias of nevatel. So the Gemara says, "Omer Ola Amar Yitzchak, Loishanu Elaplatatu Chayim." When we're saying that the skin has a kazaias of meat on it, but the kazaias is not bottled to the skin, that would only be Loishanu Elaplatatu Chayim. That would only be if a dog did it off, like we looked at the other day. Then there was no das involved in that flesh being removed from its previous attachment to the animal, and then therefore, so now it's that little bit of meat is attached to the skin. Now we're going to say it's not bottled to the skin. But if it was removed by the knife, as we looked the other day, using a knife for skinning the animal, and you left some meat attached to the skin. So then says Ula, then it would be bottled even if you still have a full kazaias. Would Rabbi Yochanan say that even if the piece of meat that was left attached to the skin when you're skinning it would be now Tosfos brings up a point. We learned a few days ago we had the whole matter of collecting together olol, and we said that one meaning of olol is exactly that, these shreds of meat that are still attached to the skin, and we talk about if it's gathered together. So why over here were you saying that even, why are we saying over here that even a full kazayas would be bought, or whereas there we said that if you gathered it together and it had, and you have a kazayas in bulk, then it's going to be metal. So Tosva says maybe indeed you could say that, yeah, when you gather it together, it shows you have conscious intention to not be mevatel. As opposed to here, there's a kazayas left over, maybe indeed it would be bottled. And also Tosva goes on to say that Rabbi Yehuda, who holds of that concept, gathering it together, may be disagreeing with Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva of our Mishnah. By the way, as far as the toothpick, Tosfos points out, it doesn't even have to be that they're on the toothpick. If you have, let's say, they're in a keli or something, and he touches them, they're just sitting on the table or on the floor, and he touches them, then Rabbi Akiva would agree that he's fine. Only when it comes to a skin, again, as it said in the Mishnah, there's a Rabbi Akiva hold that meat can be bottled to the skin. Okay, so now Ula is saying that even within that, it would not be bottled when you have a kazayis, only if it was bitten away by an animal. What if it was a tatu sapkin, then it's going to be bottled, no matter, then it's going to be bottled even if it's a kazayis. So Amalei Rav Nachman Ula, so Rav Nachman asks Ula, Amar Rav Yechonon afilu k'tarta, would Rav Yechonon say that even if the piece that stays attached to the skin is the size of a tarta? Rashi has two explanations of tauta. One is that it means a quarter of a calf. A calf is a measure of volume, but in terms of weight, it would be the weight of about 3 pounds, or 3 pounds of water or similar substances. So a quarter of a calf would be almost a pound. So that's he's asking. Are you talking about even such a large piece of meat remaining attached to the skin? Is Rabbi Yechonon going to say that it's still bottled? Rashi's second explanation is that tauta means a pan of a balance scale, which is also fairly large. So would Rabbi Yechonon say, even if it was that large, Amalei and Ula says, yes, doesn't matter how big it is, the fact that he cut it away and left it attached to the skin means that it can be bottled. He said, I'm not going to ask that. Feel like nafia. Are you telling me even if it's the size of a sieve, which is even bigger? Amalei Ein. And again, Ula says, yes. Amalei, so Rabbi Yechonon says, Harlekim, I swear in Hashem's name, even if Yechonon personally were to come here and tell this to me, like say Yisnele, I wouldn't listen to him. It doesn't matter. How can it be logical that such a large amount of meat, just because for tattoo sakin, that it should be bottled to the skin, rather than Nachman saying it doesn't make sense? Well, the Gemara continues. He saw that Rav Oshia, when Rav Oshia came up from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechele Rav Ami, he met up with Rav Ami, Amr L'Shmaita Kameh, and he told over this whole teaching, Hachi Amar Ula, he said, this is what Ula said, but Hachi Adrele Rav Nachman, and this is what Rav Nachman responded to him, that I can't accept that Rav Yechonon would have said such a thing. Amalei, so Rav Ami says, how can Rav Nachman talk like that? Well, Mishum de Rav Nachman chasni de ben Esiyahu, just because Rav Nachman is the son-in-law of the Nasi, meaning the Reish Gavusa, the governor of the Jews in Babel, so Rav Nachman is very well connected. Because of that, Mizalos of Mishmaita de Rav Yechonon, is that a reason that he should be treating a statement of Rav Yechonon disrespectfully? The fact is, Rav Yechonon said this. Rav Nachman doesn't like it, that's his problem, but he has no right to talk like that and say, even if Rav Yechonon himself were to come and tell me, then I wouldn't accept it. When we say Rav Nachman plain in Shas, by the way, there's a bit of a discussion which Rav Nachman it is. Now you have there's a Rav Nachman regular, and then there's a Nachman by Yitzchak. Rashi elsewhere in Shas explains that when we talk about Rav Nachman without qualification, it means Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. But we do find in other Gemaras that in fact he was married to the daughter of the Reish Gavusa. On the other hand, Tosfos points out over there that no, Sam Rav Nachman in the Gemara is actually Rav Nachman by Yaakov. It was one of the Rabbeim of Rava in particular. Later on, you have Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, who was one of the Talmidim of Rava, the two different generations. So it would come out from that Rav Nachman by Yaakov, regular Rav Nachman, was also that his wife Yalta, that we learned about before in our Masechta, she must have also been a daughter or somehow related to the family of the Rishonim. Okay. Thank you. So the Gemara continues, Zimnin Ashkechei D'Yosef Ha'amala. One time, Rav Oshia, still in Eretz Yisrael, met up with Rav Ami, D'Yosef Ha'amala, Asefa. And he was explaining Rav Yechonon's din about no matter how long, about the difference between Flotatu Chaya and Flotatu Sakin, that he was referring it to the Seifa for our Mishnah. Where the Mishnah continued, if you have, instead of one full Kazayas, if you have two disconnected half Kazayasim, Matame Mamasa, give it a Mishmal. The word Mamaga, give it a Mishmal. Then a Mishmal would say that they're Matame by carrying, it's carry the skin, but not by touching them, because you're not touching them. Zayas at the time says, so says a Mishmal. Rabbi Akiva, the word Mamaga, the word Mamasa. And a Mishmal, Rabbi Akiva says, that's not Matame, either Mamaga or Mamasa, because there's not a full Kazayas together in one place. So now, Rav Ami was explaining that Rabbi Yochanan's statement was referring to that. Rabbi Yochanan, lo shanu ala shalpata ela potato fire. This would apply only if only if a wild animal, so the dog bit it away, and therefore you have these two half kazes over there, and then Rabbi Shmuel would say that they combine together for Tumas Masa. I will platatu sake in bottle, but if it was cut away by the knife, then we would say that it's bottle, the two half kazes in a bottle. So putting Rabbi Yochanan's statement in connection with the Reisha would mean that even when you have a full kazayis, and even when you have much larger than a kazayis, it's going to be bottle as long as potato sakin. Putting it on the safer means only when we're talking about where each individual piece is less than a kazayis, can we say that they're bottle, but even then we would say that there's a difference between potato chaya and potato sakin. Mara Sefer Masnila. So Rav Oshia asked Rav Ami, are you learning that Rabbi Yochanan's statement goes on the Sefer of the Mishnah, like you're saying now, and not on the Reisha, like we said before? And then you're wondering how can Rav Nachman dismiss Rabbi Yochanan's opinion so casually? Amalei Ein. So Rav Ami says, yes, I understand Rabbi Yochanan's statement to be referring to the Sefer, and therefore I don't understand. And therefore, I don't understand why you were objecting to what Rav Nachman said. So Rav Ami says yes. So Rav Ami says Ve'ela. What's the point of you asking? Ve'ela Ula Reisha Amr Ni'alayfu. Why? When Ula came to Bavel, did he tell you Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael that it refers to the Reisha? Amalei Ein. Rav Oshia says yes. When Ula reported it to us, he reported on the Reisha that Rav Yochanan was saying, no matter how large a piece remains attached to the skin, as long as it was potatu sakin, then it will be bottled. Amalei, so Rav Ami says, I swear in Hashem's name, if Yeshua ben Nun were to tell me such a thing in his name, I wouldn't listen to him. Because in that case, I have to agree that you can't say, how could you say that such a large amount would be bottled? So fine, Rav Nachman had been reported to Rav Nachman that Rav Yochanan had said this on the Reisha, that no matter how large the piece is, even much more than a kazayis, it's not going to be bottle. So Rav Ami says, you know what, Rav Nachman has a point. When you're talking such a large amount, how is it possible that it could be bottle? Never mind if Rav Yochanan says this, even if Yeshua ben Nun said this, I wouldn't listen to him. It obviously has to be that it's referring to the Sefer. It's an interesting thing that he uses this expression of Yeshua ben Nun. Why does he mention Yeshua ben Nun? Why does he say Moshe Rabbeinu? So there's an interesting point, actually, in Shulchan Aruch that brings a din that if a person were to say something to somebody else, even if you were Moshe Rabbeinu, I wouldn't agree with you, then such a person who says that is actually, Shulchan Aruch says, is punished with Malchus de Rabbanan, because that's being disrespectful to Moshe Rabbeinu. And we see that from here. We see that Rav Ami is speaking of Yeshua ben Nun, not of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Taz actually explains there on that Shulchan Aruch that actually the chutzpah is not so much saying if you were Moshe, I wouldn't listen to you, but how can you possibly say to somebody else, if you were Moshe, nobody can be like Moshe, the Torah itself says, like, come, no, I'd be Israel to Moshe. Another point as well, actually, is that another explanation of it is that the Rambam explains that no Navi after Moshe Rabbeinu can use Nevuah to determine Halacha. Only Moshe Rabbeinu could speak directly to Hashem, and Hashem would tell him what the Halacha is in a particular case, as we have examples with Pesach Sheni and Benoist Tzlachon, as opposed to Yeshua and all the later Chacham after him, have to use their own human logical analysis to derive what the Torah says. There's actually the last few weeks, the essays I write for Chayenu on some of Levi Yitzchak's teachings have been based on that point that Levi Yitzchak explains at some length, that point of what it means that the Chachamim use their own human analysis to analyze the Torah, and nevertheless that this, even though it is in a way superhuman, and therefore we can follow without question what they say, and we shouldn't just consider it like ordinary human analysis. Anyway, the point is, so that would also explain why Rav Ami over here refers to Yeshua. He says, if Yeshua were to come to me with Nevuah and say such a thing, I wouldn't accept it from him because it flies in the face of logic. If Moshe told me it was Nevuah, I'd have no choice to accept it because Moshe receives the Torah by Nevuah from Hashem, and therefore every time he brings us a Nevuah, then that's just how it is. That's how Hashem says it. Yeah. In any case, the point is, Rav Ami is saying you're right. If Rav Yochanan's statement was being reported as referring to the Reisha, then you're right. I can agree with Rav Nachman that it's impossible to say that. However, he also Robin before the Fussi. However, when Robin and all the other Chachamim would travel back and forth from Eretz Yisrael, when they came to Eretz Yisrael, Amrua Areisha, they actually explained that Rav Yochanan's statement is going on the Reisha, despite Rav Nachman's question and despite Rav Ami's question. When we say that here behold the chusi, the word the chusi means the chachamim would travel, literally means the ones who would go down. So these are the chachamim would go back and forth, they would go down from Eretz Yisrael to Babel and report to the chachamim in Babel what the chachamim in Eretz Yisrael were learning, and then travel back to Eretz Yisrael and report in the other direction. The Maharshal has a girsa over here, the chusei yama, which means the ones who travel in the sea. So it would be, in other words, that it would be Robin and all the other Chachamim who traveled on ships, they all came and reported this. That in fact it is referring to the Reisha. Well, the question is the Elakasha. Well, there is the question of Rav Nachman and of Rav Ami. How is it possible that such a large amount of meat, far more than a kazayas, can be bottled just because Potatu sat in? The answer is Kidda Omer Papa, as Rav Papa explains through the Ron of the Gemara, the Merudan that we're talking about with the kazayas is not. Is it the kazayas is thin? It's really thinly spread out, so it will equal a kazayas. You can put it all together, but it's a very thin layer spread out very widely. So yes, it does come out to a kazayas, but nobody's going to bother gathering it. Nobody's going to bother peeling it off the skin and gathering it together. So platatu chaya, you weren't mevatel it. Then fine, it's not bottle, but platatu sakin, and you have this as now a long thin strip. Then you're not going to bother. And that would be then what the Yochanan means, what Robin and the Nechose are reporting, that he's saying, even on the Reisha, you have far more than a kazayas, you have the size of a quarter of a cab, or you have the size of a balanced pan of a scale, or even of a sin, and the sin in this bottle is because we're talking about where it's a very thin layer of flesh spread out over a large area, and therefore it is all cohesive, it is all intact in one piece, but nevertheless, the person's not going to bother peeling that. Next, we said in the Mishnah, we said if the skin had two half kazesim on it, so we had a machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, whether that skin now will be metame, a person when he carries it, according to Rabbi Shmuel, or not, according to Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, Amar Bapada, so now Bapada explains the machlokas Lashonu Elab Me'achre. The machlokas would only be if he touches or carries the skin from the other side. So he's touching the skin, which is the shomer, and the machlokas would be basically whether there is a shomer for less than a kazayas, which we learned about earlier in the parak. We had a machlokas whether there can be it's not a complete kazayas, so therefore it's not considered to be a shomer. Now we did say, Rashi points out, we learned earlier in the parak, that a shomer can be for all the way down to the size of a bean, and a bean is a lot smaller than a kazayas. But the fact is, we did say, we had other opinions over there, in that Gemara, on Daf Kuf Yud Tes, that said that no, that it's not considered a shomer unless you have a full kazayas. Very well, then Rabbi Shmuel would hold like that opinion. But Rapada says, Avam Lefona, but if you touch this two half kazesim on the side of the flesh itself, then everybody would agree that he's Tomei, Yesh, even Rabbi Akiva would agree, Yesh Negea, the flows of a Negea, it is significant the fact that he touches one and then he touches the other, and the two touches will combine together. The Rabban, the Ran explained that even then it would have to be, for example, he's touching them with his two hands, or if they're close enough together with his two fingers or whatever. So it means, in other words, that to two touches with two different fingers or two different hands will combine together. The Ravid actually learns differently. The Ravid says that no, what it means is he touched one and then afterwards touched the other, and that's when Rapada is saying that he'd be telling. Okay, so that's Rapada. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, ein negeya b'chois v'negeya, there's no such thing as touching and touching again, unless it's a kazayas in one place, then he's not going to combine together the fact that he touched one and then touched the other. Again, according to the Ravid, it would mean Rabbi Yochanan would say if he touched them both at the same time, even Rabbi Yochanan will agree he's Tomei, and the question is only if he touched one and then touched the other. Okay. The Gemara points out the Azir Rabbi Yochanan Tomei. Well, in that Rabbi Yochanan is going according to his own Shita. Most of the Mephoshim explain the word Va'azra as related to the word Azla in Aramaic, which means to go. Shurish Ozal in Aramaic means to go, and Azda also has the same meaning. Yeah? Dalet and Lamed, after all, are both dental consonants. There is actually an interesting explanation, I think, from Rav Sadia Goin. He says that he relates
he relates the word azza to a word meaning hard or tough. So it means that Rabbi Yochanan is tough and firm in his opinion about that. It applies to that case, and it also applies to another case. Rabbi Yochanan pointed out, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Joseph ben Helkinas, Rabbi Shmuel of our Mishnah and Rabbi Joseph ben Helkinas are both effectively saying the same thing. Rabbi Shmuel Hadamaran. Rabbi Shmuel's opinion is, we said that you have two half kazesim and they don't combine together. And again, Rabbi Yochanan is understanding that means even if you touch both of them. Where do we see Rabbi Joseph ben Helkinas? It's not. Is a Mishnah for that is a relevant Mishnah is in the Sefer to all of us. Also in Aedes. Kol ha-metamen ba-oil, anything which is able to be metame by oil, by being under the same roof as it, or by overshadowing or whatever, which includes a mess as a whole, and includes a kazayis and a mess, and includes a whole list of things that are listed elsewhere in Shas, shenechlaku, so now most things that are metame from, so for example, a kazayis, and actually gives a couple of examples, a kazayis and a mess. Quarter calf of bones, or you have rokov, you have when the body decays and becomes a powdery substance, then you have a certain kind of ladle full of that is also metame. All those things are metame boiler. Now let's say shenechel. Let's say any one of them was divided into two parts. The shear, that minimum shear was divided in half. The ichnisim was saying chayis, and then a person brought the two halves into the halves. So let's say, for example, a kazayis min ames. You have a kazayis of flesh from this. Now, a person cut that kazayas in half, and then he brought in one half kazayas and then the other half kazayas. Rabbi Joseph and Elkinas Matar, Rabbi Joseph and Elkinas says that the contents of the house remain tar because you only have a half kazayas at a time. The fact that they're in the house at the same time together doesn't matter. Whereas the Chum say the contents of the house, the people and the contents of the house will be tar. As they say that the two halves combine. Well, so Rabbi Yochanan said, "Lav Amar Rabbi Joseph and Elkinas Hossam Ein Mile or Chozer Mile." Now, in effect, what is Rabbi Joseph and Elkinas saying over there? He's saying that you can't say that the house is overshadowing and again overshadowing. The fact that two half kazesim are in the house at the same time, still each one, you can only say that the house is overshadowing only half of kazayis at a time. So therefore, so and then the house doesn't combine them together. Achanami, the same thing. Rabbi Shmuel was saying, "Enegev, achozim enegev," that you can't say that touching one and touching the other should combine together, even if according to many of the Rishonim, we're talking about even if he touched them at the same time. According to the Ravid, if you're touching them one after the other. Tosfos brings up the point. Okay, but then why would there be? Why would we say that Rabbi Shmuel and our Mishnah is saying that if you carry them together, then they become tomei? Well, why would if we're saying that he agrees with Rabbi Joseph ben Helkinas, why in the case of oil would they not combine together? And Tosfos explains that the Gemara is going to go on to say further down that there's a positive we learn about carrying, and we learn an extra thing from that, that even when he's carrying it without touching it, he would still be tummy. So therefore we can say that the carrying combines together from zero to positive as opposed to by oyolagam. So, on the other hand, that Ramban and Ran following their shita, they say that, look, when we're saying that when it comes to touching or when it comes to oil, it's considered like two touchings or like two overshadowings, even if they're combined together, because here you have one hand is touching one hand is touching the other. Or one part of the house is overshadowing one, and one part of the house is overshadowing the other. But masa, the fact is, they're connected together, and you're picking up one, you're automatically picking up the other half, so you can't consider it noisy of a chose of a noisy, you can't consider it that he's carrying it twice. Okay, so that would be another reason to make that distinction. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Umi did Rabbi Joseph and Helkinas to Rabbi Shmuel. Well, evidently, if Rabbi Joseph and Helkinas agrees with Rabbi Shmuel of our Mishnah, Rabbanan could have Akiva, the Chachamim would disagree and say that in the case of the two half kazesim, the house will be tomei, the contents of the house will be tomei, they must hold like Rabbi Akiva of our Mishnah. Well, the question is, are Rabbi Akiva tohuri kamatar? Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah is makel, and he says that even carrying the two pieces of the two half kazesim attached to the skin is not going to be the tamei of the person. So how could we say that the Chachamim, who are machmir in the case of the house, are holding like Rabbi Akiva? And if not, then who are they holding by? And the answer is no, because again, Rabbi Akiva is only being metaher when it comes to skin, because as the Mishnah had said, the pieces of meat are bottled to the skin. But in general, when you have two things that are separate, metame, then even Rabbi Akiva would agree that they're metame. Kivikotani Sefer, as we see in the Sefer of Omishmi. Omoydi Rabbi Akiva Mishnei Chatzoi Zesim. Rabbi Akiva agrees about two half kazesim. Chetokman Vakesim, if he stuck them onto a toothpick. or as Tosa said, even not stuck them onto a toothpick, even for example, they're just sitting alone, they have seats on, and he moves them to a tummy, then he's going to be tummy, because he moved a full kazayas of a mess or an avela or whatever. Almost named Mara, that came from the Tara Ba'ur. Why is he the Tara? When it comes to his skin, the Pesha or Mavaklan, only because the skin of the animal is Mavaklan. So we see that basically that Akiva holds that things can combine together like that. And therefore, the Chachamim against Rav Yosef and Hilkinas can agree with Rav Akiva. The only thing is, Rav Akiva is saying, when they're attached to his skin, then it's a different matter and the skin is Mavaklan. Now, the Gemara says, mostly Rav Ukva Ba'chom. So Rav Ukva Ba'chom asks on Ba'chadis. You're telling me, according to Rav Shmuel, that Ba'chadis, you're telling me that Rav Shmuel holds Negeya V'chozim V'negeya. It's possible to have that a person touches again, two at the same time, as the case may be, and he still becomes talking. But we learned that Braisa says, when the Torah says that if a person touches Bidi V'losom, if a person touches in their Nevela, then he becomes Tomei. So we learn from that, only if he touches the actual Nevela. So not if he touches a skin that has two half kazesin on it. Yochol Akumasa, you would think that it's not the time that is, but I say apparently it's going to the Mishmah. So not if the skin has two half kazesin on it, because that's not full touching. Yochol Akumasa, you would think he's not Tomei if he carries the skin either. Talmud Lama, therefore the positive is the positive is that if he lifts them up, then they were talking about Shrotzim, same thing as far as in the Vela, that he becomes Tomei. So he's carrying a full Kazayas, therefore he becomes Tomei. In the case of Shrotzim, would be less than a Kazayas either, but whatever. Rabbi Akiva says no. Hanigeya v'hanosis, since the positive mentions back to back, touching their dead carcasses and carrying them, we can look from that. Eshem, bolachal maga, bolachal masa. Only when you have a case where it's able to be the tami a person by touching, is it also the tami him by carrying him, even if he doesn't touch it. Loy baba flamaga, but if it never reaches the point of if it's not something which is the tami by carrying, by touching, and you, Rabbi Shmuel, agree that it's not the tami by touching, but it's separate half kazesin, loy baba flamasa, then Rabbi Akiva holds is not included in the category of carrying either, and therefore even if he carries it, he's not going to be tummy. Tosfos points out, look, Rabbi Akiva himself holds a skin in the bottle of anyway, but he's saying even according to you, Rabbi Shmuel, you don't hold their bottle to the skin, but nevertheless shouldn't Maga and Masa be interdependent, and if you can't have one, you can't have the other. Now, the Anissa, if you're going to tell me like Bapada, how did Balachlam Maga Malafonim? After all, according to Rabbi Shmuel, it is capable of giving a person Tumas Maga when he touches the actual piece of the flesh themselves. So then in that case, following that logic, he should say that it's Matami by carrying as well. So the Braisa seems to imply not like Bapada. So Rava says, this is what Rabbi Akiva means in the Braisa. When it can cause a person or a kaili to become tummy with touching it from any side, no matter what side you touch it, you're going to become tummy, front or back or whatever. Rashi points out that at the beginning of the parak, we learned about from this very pasuk Yitma, where it says he becomes tummy, that it means even, for example, he touches the skin that's protecting the flesh. We talked about it in the whole matter of shomer over there. So when it's capable of having tumas naga from every side, front or back, balach bal masa, then we can also talk about that it has tumas masa as well. According to Rabbi Akiva's drum. But if it's not capable of giving a person Tumas Maga from every direction, as in this case, even according to Bapada's understanding of Rabbi Shmuel, it will only if he touches the side with the two half gazesim, not if he touches the skin side. So then, Loi Bobo Chal Masa, it's still not in the category of Masa. And therefore, that Braisa is not a contradiction on Bapada's understanding of Rabbi Shmuel. So the Gemara continues, Bomini Rav Ivyas Sova Meram Baravona. Rav Ivyas Sova asks Rav Baravona, Kulis Struma. Suppose you have a Kulis, which is literally a Kulis, means a thigh bone, but it means any kind of bone that contains marrow. So now, there's no flesh on the outside of it, but there is marrow inside of it. Now, we're going to learn later on, and we're going to learn tomorrow, Best Hashem, that when you have such a bone from a Nevela or a Sheretz, then a person is not Tomei even if he carries it. Because again, there's no maga, there's no masa. So the question is, there's no maga because you can't touch the marrow on the inside, and therefore masa is also not relevant. So the Mishnah says, kulis stoma, when you have a sealed, a closed up bone, So, little Bishmal, Maoshi to Tame. What about a point to Bishmal? Would it be the Tame a person, and if he carries it? In other words, the Mishnah that we're going to learn tomorrow, Rav Hashem says, as it begins at the bottom of this Talmud, that if a person touches it, he remains Tahor. However, the question is that only a point to Rav Akiva and Rav Shmuel would disagree with that, or maybe Rav Shmuel agrees as well. The question is there Rav Shmuel eschabolcha maga bolcha masa loy bolcha maga loy bolcha masa? Does Rav Shmuel agree with that basic rule that Rav Akiva laid down? He's just arguing on the implication of it, because again, he's going to argue. Given that you have the possibility that you touch the actual, flesh itself, then you become Tomei, so therefore he holds that that's enough to create Tumas Masa as well. So does he agree with that? And then it would be like Rapada, at least there's one side on which he touches it where it's going to become Tomei. Now obviously the question wouldn't work with pointed up yet, but I pointed up yet, and either way, Rabbi Shmuel holds, that he's not tummy when you have two half kazesim when he touches it. So the question would be strictly a point about Padre's understanding. So the question would we say that only in this case then Rabbi Shmuel would be metamehin because there's one side where he touches it where it can in fact become tummy, and therefore it can have tumas masa as well. Or duma less layer, maybe Rabbi Shmuel, and then in that case then when it comes to the bone, Rabbi Shmuel would have to agree that he's not becoming tummy by picking it up because there's no way to actually become tummy by touching the marrow inside the bone. Or duma less layer, maybe Rabbi Shmuel disagrees with that whole concept, and he would say as long as you're physically carrying.
Yeah.
The part that makes you tummy, then you're going to become tummy, and in that case, then he would hold as long as you pick up the, when you pick up the bone, by definition, you're picking up the marrow inside, and therefore you're going to become tummy, even though there's no capability of touching it. Amalei, so instead of answering him directly, Rabba Barabhuna answered him, Urva Porach. Urva Porach literally means a flying raven. Like, look, there's a raven flying, like he's distracting him instead of giving him an answer. So Amalei Rava Brei, Amalei Rava Brei. So Rava, the son of Rava Bar Avuna, asked, "Why'd you do that?" The Lav Heiner of Ibi Sava from Pumbedisa, wasn't that Rav Ibi Sava from Pumbedisa? Sava means the elders. He's an elder, distinguished Talmud Chacham from Pumbedisa. The Mishabach one Mar Gavei de Gaver Rabahu, and you Rebbe have previously praised him as being a great person, a great Talmud Chacham. So he asked you a good question. Why are you distracting him with a side thing instead of giving him a proper answer? Amalei, said Rabbi Barabhuna answers, and me hayoyim, because today I'm very worn out. Today was a Shabbos of right before Yom Tov, and I was darshaning at length in the halachas of the Yom Tov. So, and therefore, so I'm in the situation described in Shir Hashirim, samchuni ba'ashishis. I need to be supported with cakes. I need a good meal after I'm fatigued. I'm tired out from having given that drasha. And here Rabbi Yisrael came and asked me something which I need to think into. Right? I need to think in to tackle what Rabbi Shmuel would say on the subject, and therefore I wasn't in the frame of mind. I didn't have the presence of mind to be able to answer him. And therefore I diverted his attention as if like right now is not really a time to ask it. I'm not really in a position to answer it. There's a few other places in Shas where you have this kind of thing as well, where one of the Chacham asks another one something, and he answers with this kind of answer. Ooh, we have another example of it in the Sefer Beitza as well, same idea. In other words, Rav Barabhuna is saying that there's time and place for things, basically, and Rivia was asking at the wrong time, because right now I'm too tired and worn out to be able to deal with that in detail. Okay. Talking more about this matter of two half possessing, the Gemara says, "Omofot shnei chatzoizesim ketochon bekesem." If a person were to take two half possessim of nevela and stick them onto a toothpick, I feel a molchomeli kolayim kolay. Even if he moves it back and forth all day, tahor, he's tahor. He doesn't become tamei from touching it or from carrying it. My time of ksiv v'nisa, ksiv v'nisa v'korina noisim, because the expression of the pasuk is. A person who carries the nevela, but the word noise is written without the vav. It's written nun nun sin aleph, and therefore it can be read. It could be read as if it said venisa. It was carried, but we don't. We read it with the nekudas that were given halacha l'moshe mesinai tell us to read it as noise, the one who carries. So therefore, that means it has to be both.
And therefore we learn that it has to be both. But in a noise, Vuhudimisabasakas. It has to be that he's carrying them, but only when they're actually, they can be carried together, namely if they're attached, namely if they're attached together. So Rashi explains, in other words, he's saying only if you have one kazayas together, without anything else, without any other handle, such as a toothpick or anything like that. And therefore, so there wouldn't even be Tumas Maga, let alone Tumas Masa. And therefore, this would be even a fornicative activity. Well, the Gemara says, wait a minute, now we learned in the Mishnah, we said if the skin had two half kazesim of meat on it, Matamin Mamaga, but like Mamasa Divida Bishmal, but Bishmal would say it's to Matame a person by carrying it, because it carries the whole kazayas together, but not touching it, says Bishmal, and we had the Bachlokas, by Pada and Ramyothan before what that means. Why? The fact is it's two separate pieces, so why should it be Matame Vemasa? The answer is Omar Papa. So here's where the Papa says the Meruda. Here's what we're talking about, the answer that we gave at the top of the Omar. In a different context, we said that when the meat is flattened out and then widely spread on the skin, so then we can say, in other words, so in other words, we're not talking two half kazasim that are completely separate. We're talking about, so it's actually enough of a strip of flesh between them that conceivably they could be carried together if you were to remove it from the skin. So the question then is, well, why is it not the time of the maga? So Rashi, as the Teferes Yaakov, learns in Rashi over here that the reason is we're talking about that you have the two half kazesim are separate and you have the strip between them, so therefore they're carried together. But the fact is, if that strip is not significant enough to make that Tumas Maga should apply. Persis explains specifically we're talking about that the strip is very thin. The strip is very thin, and therefore, if you try to pick it up, it's going to snap. It's not going to actually allow you to carry it together. So therefore, so it won't be Matamid Bamaga, but Thomas Masa, the fact is, at least, or what it is rather, so he explains that it's such that, let's say, it's in two pieces, the two main pieces are one larger than the other. The strip is small enough, is narrow enough, and if you were to try to pick up by the small end, then the thing would snap apart. If you try to pick it up by the big end, then it would stay together. So we're saying that's considered connected enough as far as Thomas Masa, but not necessarily as far as Thomas Masa. So again, all of this is when Ula is saying about these two half kazesim, Rashi explains we're talking according to Rabbi Kiva, the Ramban and the Ran explain that we're actually talking about according to Rabbi Shmuel. That Ula's din is according to Rabbi Shmuel. Okay, anyway, the point is that what about in the Mishnah? We said that you have the two half kazesim, it's not Misa. So the answer is because Meruda, because we're talking about it's flattened out and you have the strip that connects them. Okay, the Gemara says that, right, but let's prove from the continuation of the Mishnah. We said Moedin Rabakiva. Rabakiva does agree. B'shnei chatzoi zesim to talk on the kesim when he has two half kesim that he stuck onto a toothpick. That sits on and he moves them. Shul tomei that he is in fact going to be tomei. Now according to Ula, my beholak nisa. According to Ula, that shouldn't be considered nisa because the meat itself is divided in two and you have to have one kesayis all intact. And the answer is half an hour in the road. And here also you're talking about that's flattened out. That's flattened out. We have, again, you have the half kazayas on one end, the half kazayas on the other hand, and a strip of flesh connected. Well, the Gemara says ketanoi. This statement of Ula is actually subject to a machlokes tanoim itself. Because the Braisa says, echad anegev echad amesit, whether a person touches or moves half kazayas, two half kazayas. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Achan Moise, and Rabbi Eliezer says also if he carries them. Now we have to ask, why is he mentioning carrying as a separate thing? Otu Noise Lab Mesa too. Isn't Noise and Mesa the same thing? Mesa means moving to something, but in Halacha, in general, moving something is considered the equivalent of carrying it. So then in that case, why does Rabbi Eliezer have to add Noise? Evidently, what it means is, Tanakama is saying, Echad Anegea, the Echad Amesit, Beloy Nisa. Whether he touches it or whether he moves it, even if they're not capable of being carried together, even if you don't have that strip of flesh, nevertheless, it's going to be Matami, not like Ula. But also, Rabbi Eliezer Lameima, well, then Rabbi Eliezer comes and says, Vuhudim Nisa, only if it's connected together and can be carried together, namely that you have a strip between them. Or my half. So what does Rabbi Eliezer mean? Well, he says also, on the contrary, he's saying that there's a case where the Tanakhama says that he's Tomei and Rabbi Eliezer says he's not. Aim of a who did this. So you have to correct them. He has his wording to say only if they can be carried together, only if you have that strip connected. So it comes out that the statement of Ullah's, then in other words, is only a point to Rabbi Yezir. The halacha is not like Rabbi Yezir in that regard. The halacha is like the Chachamim, and therefore the result is the halacha is like what Rabbi Akiva had said in the Mishnah, that when you have two hachkazation on a toothpick, then the person is in fact going to be tameh because he carried a full kazayas, and only in the case when they're attached to his skin, then we have, as we said in the Mishnah, that Rabbi Akiva would hold its bottle to the skin.
It's already.